Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, peas. This is your summer series episodes for you today.
Woohoo! We've never had a summer series. We're very proud of ourselves for actually organising it, although all we've done is record these few words and the sound engineer has done everything else.
But we hope you enjoy listening back. You might have missed some of these episodes. You might have enjoyed them before. Have a listen again and thank you.
Yeah, these episodes are all people that we've interviewed that we've really enjoyed talking to. Some of them are famous people, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And we thought you might like to listen. It helps us out over the summer and, you know, maybe you'd get lonely without our voices.
Probably.
I don't know.
Probably not.
Anyway, enjoy, peace.
Thank you.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today's episode is Shezzy and Grant Denyer, and they told me to say a couple of dickheads.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
The sun is shining for those of you who love our weather banter.
Melbourne.
Yes.
This morning she threw a massive storm and now she's like, oh.
I'm back to autumn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, how
yes,
are you?
Yes, fine.
Fine.
There's sickness good. In our house, so there's lots of juggling.
Yeah. I'm all good.
But that is like change of season Melbourne, I think. I feel like my family had COVID this time last year and then now we're back.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
That's okay.
Let's get going.
Yes. So we have two awesome guests today. Would you like to say hello and introduce yourselves?
Yeah. Hello. I'm Larry Emder and I used to host The Price is Right.
Come on down.
Yeah. Unfortunately, now everyone's just tuned out. I thought we were getting Larry bloody Emder.
Oh, gosh, this idiot.
And this is my lovely wife.
And I'm dickhead number two.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm interested to know about another house that has a whole lot of illness happening. I feel like that's been us every week for the past year.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like we've had every influenza known to man.
I think we just lost all of our immune systems during COVID and the kids were home for too long. And
now they're back.
And I love. And they all have different names as well. Like we're off to the doctors one week and they say, oh, you've got influenza B.
Yes. That's what my house has just got.
2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, it's like, oh, now you've got influenza A.
I know. The thing is, when.
I didn't even know that.
In the 80s.
How are we going backwards in the alphabet?
I think in the 80s we were just, oh, you're super sick.
You didn't go to the doctor.
No.
Your mum didn't take you to the doctor.
Yeah, that's right.
Only for a broken arm, which I always wanted so badly.
Yes.
So did I.
Yeah, I never had it either.
Never. No. I wanted that cast.
Oh. I know. Just getting the attention at school, show and tell, little autographs on it from all your mates.
Yep, nothing.
No.
I had to wait until I was 30. I don't know, four or six, one of those, when I broke my back. So I eventually made up for the fact I didn't have a broken arm at school by breaking my back as an adult.
Oh, my
but
God.
But you don't have a big cast that people can sign, do you?
No.
It's still not as cool.
But he had a back brace.
Yeah.
When he was very high on the morphine, he was like, no one can even ride on it. It's plastic.
Yeah.
And I was like,
pretty upset about
it. No, fair enough.
It was his moment and it was a dud.
Yes.
You know what? And I was like, no, I'd prefer to break my arm because at least I can go to the toilet by myself.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, your back. That must have been horrendous.
Although I broke my wrist in 2019. And putting on the bra, very tricky. I had a lot of friends do a lot of favours.
Yes, and I stabbed my hand cutting an avocado. And, yeah, I couldn't get my bra on either. I was like, yeah.
Oh, who knew? But I could wipe, so it was handy.
And an avocado is exceptionally soft to cut, right? Requires very little pressure with a sharp knife.
I know. So I was holding it and I just had a massive knife and I thought I'm just going to get the pip out or whatever you call it. And I just put that and I thought I'll turn it.
Oh, you stabbed the pip.
And I stabbed my hand, yeah.
And what did the doctor call it?
He called it avocado hand. Yeah. When I came into emergency, he's like, oh, oh, avocado
it's
hand.
A thing?
Yes. Yeah, look it up. It's the leading cause of hand surgeries in the UK. Yeah.
Because I thought that that was just an ADHD thing that you stabbed the because
we may have
well, there's that too. But you had to have like plastic surgery and everything.
Oh yeah.
So you because did it bounce off the pip and then go into your hand?
I don't remember.
I think that's what would happen.
You don't remember?
No. Oh, all I remember then is like my husband throwing a cup of water on my head.
Why? Because you wouldn't calm down.
Because I passed out.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. And then my kids putting a cupcake in my mouth to give me a bit of sugar. Like it was completely ridiculous mismanagement.
I remember that being one of the steps when I did the CPR class. That I remember, you know, rice, rest,
yeah,
you
know, rice
compression, so
I was just like, what? I was like, I'm really
cupcake.
Sweaty.
A cupcake.
No. And they're like, Mom, have some sugar. Anyway, enough about me. Let's get to our questions.
Yep.
And we can get Kate.
All right.
You can answer. Yeah, you can answer separately.
Yeah. Because you are actually two people.
Yeah.
So the first question is, do you have a favourite song or a band that like either pumps you up in the good times or lifts you up when you're feeling a bit shit?
I feel like I need to press a buzzer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Can I go first?
Family Feud.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, well, we've surveyed 10 people.
Oh, yeah.
that's about 8 more listeners than our entire podcast.
I love Barracuda. And who did we work out that was by?
Because I can't remember.
It's by Heart or something.
Oh,
I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes. Google it.
Classic old American song. Because we used to play SingStar a lot. And when prior to children, we'd sort of have a couple of vinos and play SingStar with some friends. And that was always one of the tracks.
Yeah.
Jezzy was always bang into. So
I could play it on the guitar. I'm not very good at it.
That's right. Like, Guitar Hero.
Yeah. On the Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I listen to the SingStar playlist on Spotify all the time. So I'm like, I love this list.
I did not know
they had a list.
They would be. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you search it up? Yeah. Because they're always mega hits.
That's right. Yeah.
Total Eclipse of the Heart was always my karaoke song. If I ever went to a venue, say with work colleagues or shows or whatever. Yeah, it was always Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah.
Because big, big power ballad. But not only that one. Campus film clips you've ever seen in the world. Like, it's just fabulous. There's just lots of, like, someone's gone nuts with the wind machine.
Those were the days.
Blowing your head off. And
like,
the smoke machine guys clearly just had too many joints because it was filmed in the 80s. And it was too much of everything.
Yeah, which perfect. Made it amazing. That was the 80s.
Yeah. Okay, I'm excited to ask this question.
Yeah, me too.
This question we asked to all our people, and you can both answer. Did you win any awards at school or any awards in your lifetime?
None at school for me.
That's pretty common.
I remember being in year 11 media studies class, and I knew I was the best media studies student by far. And
high self-esteem.
It's funny you should say that. So I didn't get the Year 11 Media Award, and I cornered Mr. Vernon, the media teacher, in the quadrangle one day during lunchtime, pushed him against the wall. I didn't want to push him. I cornered him so he couldn't leave. I wasn't a violent kid. I was only little. And I said, mate, what's going on? What's going on? He goes, what do you mean what's going on? He goes, I said, you know I was the best media student by far. You know, you and I both know that I deserve that award. And then he looked at me. We had this look in his eye and I was like, oh, God, what's he going to deliver now? He goes, you and I both know that you don't need the confidence boost. He was right. He got me.
He was right.
Actually, that's a great story because so many times awards go to the kids that actually don't really need them in life and not the ones that could do with a little bit more extra support.
Well, it ended up motivating me so much, the fact that I didn't get the award, that I think I really only have a media career today just to piss Mr. Vernon off and prove that I did deserve it all along. So
Fuck
it
shit,
kind
Mr.
of pushed
Vernon.
Me. Yeah, you bloody bastard.
We've got pictures of Mr. Vernon up everywhere. Knives and
little voodoo doll.
Some people are motivated by, you know, being nice and kind, just wanting to achieve great things. Mine's mostly venom.
Yep. And revenge. Yeah. Shazzy, did you win any at school?
No, I won none, except when I was 8, I got the bicentenary coin.
Oh, yes, I have that still.
And because I was so hyperactive, I don't think I could ever sit still to listen. I thought they actually gave me an award. And so for a couple of years, I was telling everyone. I carried that thing everywhere. Remember it came in
the booklet.
I got an award. Yeah. I got an award. And I remember people saying, well, what did you get the award for? And they're looking
for
at
turning
my
200.
Australia.
And that was my award. And it was years later that somebody just said to me, they're like, you know that everybody got that?
In the whole country.
Devastated. Stop that.
You can have it. You can take
thank
that.
You.
Yeah, we'll thank say you. It's an award.
Grant, I really want to know about, tell us about your best award you've ever won, being a media person.
The first trophy I ever got in go-karting was the start of a long career in motorsport. So that one was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then, in television, you know, I was lucky enough to win a gold statue.
Yes, you were. And the whole country Logie. Was cheering.
Oh, we were all so pumped for you.
It was, it really shocked me how much it meant to me when it happened. I think that inner self-doubt, that inner that imposter syndrome is pretty strong in me. So I kind of never really felt like I was in the cool club or felt like I belonged. I sort of didn't talk like the others or act like the others. I did it for a different reason. I wasn't like a red carpet walker or the fame thing just wasn't a focus for me. I enjoyed making telly, but that was about it. So and then that day winning the award, it was like, holy moly.
Yes.
Felt like I'd been running on a treadmill for 25 years.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to be the best you can be, trying to be better than the person next to you, trying to sort of race up each rung of the ladder and trying to be a good person and a good employee. And then I was like, I think I made it.
Yeah, you did.
I think I can stop running now.
Yes, I bet.
Relax. It was a beautiful, beautiful feeling that still gives me tingles when I think about it.
Yes. Well, congratulations.
Do you want to see it?
Yes. We want to see it. The Logie.
Oh, look
at that. Take a photo. Oh, thank you. That's amazing.
You get a photo?
Yep,
I got
thank
one.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh. Well, Kate and I both have twins that are nearly 18. I think you were the, you know, weatherman on Sunrise when our babies were little.
Yep.
And we watched that every morning, you know, because we were up at 4 starting the day.
Yeah, well, the mum army was is the one that sort of drives and dictates the success of those breakfast shows in the morning.
Yeah.
First up or you're feeding or.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, I think those days on Sunrise, I was very lucky whilst having a good fun, you know, wrestling crocodiles or jumping out of helicopters or doing all sorts of, you know, being nude on television.
Yeah.
It was the kind of the viewers and friends you made make doing those weather roles, you know, 5 days a week on Sunrise ended up sort of following you on to, you know, the other TV shows that you make. So it was that gold Logie came from.
Yeah.
You know, trying to make those mums feeding at 5 a.m. laugh.
You did.
Yeah.
You sure did.
And that's such a hard time for a mom.
Yeah.
You know, you've been awake most of the night. You're feeling like you just can't go on. And to have something kind of snap you out of your own head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We heard that a lot when we traveled on the road. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, when you, I think you're disconnected a little bit from your normal group of friends and family, and you're bunkered down in those four walls of home.
Mm.
You know, you could barely stop to, you know, breathe for fresh air. And that was kind of, because my segment was always, you know, how we always came after the news. So we were that 3 minutes after the news, and the news is such heavy going.
Yes.
You know? It's depressing and it's sad and it's full of fear and things that, you know, that are horrible about the world. And it was, I kind of saw it as my job or my duty to kind of lift everyone's spirits back up after 5 minutes of death and destruction.
Yeah, that's right. Now from the wall, here's Grant jumping out of my
And twins.
Yes.
Like,
and Kate had them fourth and fifth, so she had three bigger kids, and they were my first babies. So, yeah, it was the first time I was sort of home and not going to work and trying to find a new rhythm and,
just wanting to hear adult voices.
New identity.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like kids TV, ugh. Let me hear an adult talking for a
little bit. Yeah. Well, see, our kids are so spread far apart. So, you know, we've got a 2-year-old now, but we've also got an 11-year-old. So we're just nonstop. We've got three kids. So, you know, 11, 7, and 2. So we're just, it's just, it has not ever been without high five, wiggle, Teletubby.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah,
that's right.
Yep. I know. And when
I had three incarnations of Wiggles.
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
Oh, at least.
You feel like you want to tell people that, but no one cares. But it's a really big deal. Yeah.
And it's sad when one leaves.
Yeah, we really love Greg. You know?
That is not a development milestone.
I know. And it is, damn it.
So when people go, oh, you know, my great grandmother, she lived through two wars. You know, well, I've seen five groups of Wiggles. Same.
Exactly.
My daughter, like, I have older kids. And so we grew up with the Wiggles. I took her to a concert. It cost me $2. And the Wiggles came out, sold all their own merch, went up, set up the sound, did the concert, came back out. They didn't even have specific color skivvies in. They just wore t-shirts. Wow. This is old school Wiggles. And then she, when she turned 18 or 19, they did that re-wiggled tour thing where they went out. And so then she went to the pub and got pissed with her friends and sang the Wiggles. Yeah. I was like, this is such a beautiful circle of life.
I
know. It is.
Mm.
$2.
Oh, my God. $2.
They were desperate for us.
It's just a crappy school hall.
We should ask our final question.
Yeah. Okay. So our favourite question is, why are you a part of our P tribe?
We are a part of your P tribe because we are kick-ass parents like you guys.
We're pretending we are anyway.
Yeah, well, same.
Got a great vibe day to day.
And also I think, you know, we have Sunday who is two and we've had we kind of came to the party late with her hip dysplasia and we didn't really know a whole lot about it. Sailor, our eldest, was born with hypermobile hips.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as a first mum, I remember changing her nappies and her legs would turn 360 degrees and I just thought that was normal.
Yes.
And it wasn't until, you know, other friends who had kids were looking and they were like, what is going on with her hips?
Yeah.
That we started to look into it. And Sunday had one hip that's extremely hypermobile, so hypermobile that it just kind of sat out of the socket.
Right.
And we did all the checks from when she was born. You know, they do the ultrasounds and they feel for clicky hips. She didn't have clicky hips, so to say.
Right.
And the ultrasounds didn't show it up because unless her legs were dead straight, which they don't ultrasound like that, they ultrasound with them in a frog position.
Yes, right.
Unless her legs were dead straight, it was in the socket. So when she was in the frog position, it was normal.
Right.
And is that a typical thing?
Hers didn't click because she was sort of it was a long way out when it was out. So it never really made that click to go back in. It was never just a little bit in and a little bit out. It was usually mostly just completely dislocated.
Wow. So was she in pain?
No.
Yeah, because you would have picked up on that, wouldn't you?
Mm.
Exactly. Yeah. So the first thing that I noticed was that she wouldn't sit for long periods of time, and she'd always fall like to one side. Mm. And I thought, God, we're getting a little bit close here to, you know, the milestone that they're supposed to meet. Why is she not sitting up? Thought it might have been something to do with her abdominal muscles, or wasn't quite sure, but took her back to the doctors and they checked it. No issue. Okay, no worries. Well, maybe she's just a bit slow, a bit slower.
Yeah.
And it's hard because those milestones you don't always meet. You know, and I've got friends who've got kids at the same age, and they, you know, my best girlfriend's daughter was walking and Sunday was still trying to start to crawl.
Yeah.
And she couldn't crawl properly, could she? And that was when I took her to a physio, and the physio said, I think there's something going on in this hip.
Right.
And I said, oh, what makes you think that? And she showed me when she tried to put, you know, her feet down, and we were trying to get her to do exercises. She said she's falling off to, you know, her right side.
Right.
Let's just get it checked.
And how old was she?
She was one.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah.
So, right, it takes forever to get into some of these specialists, as you would know. Mm. And so I made my appointment, and 6 weeks later the appointment came around and we got COVID.
Oh, of course you did.
Yeah. Grant gave us COVID.
Did so you, Grant?
I was
you dirty rat.
And I remember saying to him, no, I've got to take it to the specialist. Yeah. Oh. And so she just turned one. Anyway, the specialist fit me in, and we went, you know, as soon as we could. And he said, she definitely has a problem. Let's x-ray it. So we x-rayed it, and he showed me the x-ray. And I, like, even to the untrained eye, I could tell the ball joint. Now, none of this is technical speak. This is all just mum speak.
Yep.
The ball joint on the hip that was out of the socket was tiny.
Right.
Probably 1/8 the size of the normal hip.
Oh,
got it.
It was so small, and there was a whole lot of space between the ball joint and the actual hip socket. And he said, that's how far it's sitting out. He said, there's no cartilage strength pulling it in.
Right. And how did you feel?
I felt really shocked.
Oh, that had been missed.
Yes.
Yeah. I felt really shocked. And he said, you know, we need to put her straight in because of her age.
This is when she should be just starting to learn to walk.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
We were at the point of having to take away the mobility of someone who was just about to discover it. So it was.
Oh, rough.
Yeah. We wished we had been able to deal with that, you know, when she was younger.
Yeah. Mm. And you blame yourself as well. Yeah, like, I started thinking in my head, oh my God, I've swaddled her too tight. Trying to get my sleep. It's my fault. No. You always, I think, blame yourself first up. And
we're also lucky that, considering I'm sure all the situations and scenarios that you guys hear every single day on your podcast, we're lucky. We're a small case. It's treatable.
It's still trauma in your family.
But we also know that there's a huge community of people with hip dysplasia that never get a voice, and you guys have kind of come out and – I think people are like, wow, these are our people too. That's really important.
This seems like a really silly thing to say, but you know, when we just had this moment the other day where we realised what we'd missed out on.
Yes.
She hasn't worn a pretty dress ever.
Yeah, I know.
She's got to wear comfy clothes underneath her braces. You know, she was in a full sort of armpit to ankle cast. For
enormous. Yes.
But she's never worn pretty clothes. She's never looked like a girl. She's just
There's
she's
a real
got no hair as well, so she's sort of a little baldy. She's still growing. So she's just never looked like a little girl.
Have the other two that you have photos of at that age, and you know,
when you look back on those and you go, oh God, look how cute they are, and we're like, this poor one doesn't get to get dressed up.
And that's sad. And there's a lot of grieving too.
Yes.
When you look back. And one thing that I am so grateful for is the Facebook community for not only, you know, Spiker Cast, but also hip dysplasia. Because when you go into a doctor's appointment and you know something's not right, and they say to you, we need to get your child in right now for an operation. We're going to cut you know, a segment of the hip. And then she's going to be put into a full body cast for a couple of months.
Oh,
and it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. They can't move. They're hot. Yeah. Like when you first hear that, you don't ask any of the questions, you know, about, well, what do I do when they can't sleep because they're so uncomfortable?
Yes.
Or, you know, what happens if they have a nappy explosion in the cast? And how do I get it to not smell like urine?
The answer was, they just do. It stinks. They're feral. There's a reason why we change them over every
That's right.
Eight weeks.
Yeah. But like that community, they shared so many tips and tricks and hints and I got so much out of that and I was so grateful because there was probably 3 weeks, I feel like, where she couldn't sleep.
God.
She just got the cast on, you know, it was sore where the cut tendon was.
And you can't see it. You don't know if it's becoming infected or.
No, you can't. And so, and you feel like you think to yourself, how the hell am I going to survive these?
Yes.
I just don't think that I have, you know, the strength. And they're heavy and, you know, having to just rock her at night, which so many parents did, you know, just to speak to a community.
It feels like a torture device, you know.
It's
so bad. You feel like you're forcing it on them and you're inflicting this horrible life on them. You know, we looked at a little video yesterday and she was on the ground just trying to pull herself along with her little wrists going. She was like a helpless little dolphin out of the water, wasn't she?
Yes, yeah. And that's your baby, you know.
That's right. I know. Yeah. And just so many people who have been through it coming up and talking to us and sharing, you know, their stories. It was so comforting. But it's actually, I think, a lot more common than what we realize.
Definitely. And I think your child doesn't want to be going through this for then you guys to be the spokespeople either. You know,
it's
hard to watch them go through it. My daughters had cast on their legs many times. They had Botox injections because they've got cerebral palsy. And one night I ripped those casts off because there wasn't anything broken. And I felt like every time they had a cast around their leg, I had it around my heart. And I can't explain that other than when I got the cast off, I felt like I could breathe again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can relate to that.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
me actually feel really teary right now thinking back through that.
Yeah, and all that stuff's really important to talk about. And yes, there's good outcomes in the hip community, but it's still hard.
So hard. I remember the first time we had the exploding nappy in the spiker cast and it was messy and I'd been trying so hard to keep it really clean. And I had like the little alcohol wipes and I was wiping it and I had the anti-urine smell and I was just trying so hard. And I remember she had this exploding nappy and she's just laying there like helpless and it's, you know, everywhere. And I just started crying.
Of course.
I was like, oh, my God. You know, you just want to pick them up and hold them, you know, skin to skin and you can't do that.
You've got to remember if on the inside of those casts is all that fluff, right, and it just holds everything in it. You know what I mean? It's impossible.
It's impossible.
And so much heat as well.
So much heat.
So uncomfortable. Yeah. How did you – so how long was she in the full body cast? Like 3 months, did you say?
Yeah, so we had it, closer to 12 weeks. So I had a switch over halfway through.
Did you quickly, were you allowed to bath her in that switch over or were you in hospital or could you?
In hospital. So they gave her like a sponge bath down. But the most awful thing was when I went back there, you know, and after COVID, Grant couldn't come with me. You could only have one person in the hospital.
It's awful.
So cool. It's the one time you're like, I really actually want my husband around.
Yeah.
Just the one time.
Just the one time.
That's the only purpose he has in my life.
But like,
who do you choose? Who to go? It's awful. With twins, my husband and I could have one each when we put them under.
Yeah, but on your own.
That is so hard. Like when your baby is so small and you take them in, and this has probably happened to you, I guess, Mandy, because when she knew, Sunday knew when we walked into that hospital, hang on a second, this is where I had the needles last time, where I had all the pain and when we walked into the, you know, into the surgery, and the nurse was there in the scrubs, and she's going, no, and pulling at my shirt, and I'm, you know, and you're trying to remain really calm. Yeah,
you don't want them to see your fear or tears.
But I tell you what, after all of that, she's the most resilient.
Yes, that's right.
Happy, calm, a little individual.
Wild.
Adorable. Now that she's got mobility, she's a little wild.
Yes.
So when she really was unfazed.
When she came out of the car, she went into a more permanent sort of
Into a rhino brace.
Rhino brace. And what does that look like?
So it's got like a plastic kind of like a seat almost that holds her legs in that frog position, and then it's got Velcro around the legs to tie it on and around the stomach. So
and was that 23 hours a day, or could you have an hour off, or what?
You know what? It's supposed to be 24 hours a day. Mm. Just take it off, you know, when they're bathing them. But I said to the professor, I was like, because I knew that we'd caught it late and there is a chance that she's going to have to go back and have more operations to have part of the hip bone cut out.
Which is a big, big procedure with a huge recovery. And that's back into a permanent brace too.
Back into a spike cuff. Yeah. So I said to him, is there an issue if I put it on her basically all day and just only take it off, you know, very rarely? And he said, no. He said, do you think that you could do that? Because lots of parents feel, you know, too overwhelmed to do that. And thankfully, I was like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be really strict. And for the first, she's been in it since August last year.
Wow.
And right up until December, we had it on nearly 24 hours a day.
Wow.
I'd take it off just to bath.
Yeah.
But then she started walking.
Yes.
Which was really exciting for us, and it was exciting for her as well.
Yeah.
And then she started realizing that she could walk a whole lot faster when she didn't have the brace on.
Yes.
And so since January, I think she's been taking it off.
Yeah. Oh, she takes it off.
Yeah. Taking it off, taking socks off, taking her clothes off, taking the nappy off. And so now running everywhere. So we've cut it back to just wearing it at night or during sleep time.
Okay.
And that's kind of the deadline that I knew was looming.
Yeah.
I thought we might have been able to get through till she was, you know, a little bit older. But
you know what that's good though is you get stopped on the street or you tell that story or people see the photos on Instagram and her in a little brace and everyone's like, oh, you know, my 18-year-old daughter had that and she's great. She's now a hurdler.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you hear so many wonderful and encouraging stories from people who've been through it, which kind of it does give you that light at the end of the tunnel when you're in amongst the shit. You know what I mean?
Yes, it definitely.
And just knowing that it's all for a reason, and there can be a good outcome,
and other people have survived it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And again, we should really put our health issue in context.
Oh no, we all do that.
This is what you're here for, though.
Yeah. Don't feel like that.
We want to hear your story. It's okay.
And I've really enjoyed being able to share with, you know, a big community the tips and tricks that have been passed on to me. So, you know, one thing, I really needed a high chair, you know, I needed something that she could fit into. And you don't even think of that stuff when you brought them out of hospital, but, you know, how do you feed them?
They don't fit in it.
Of course not. Yeah. Car seats and prams, all of it.
You have to get everything. That's another thing that I was, you know, sad about because I finally found a pram that I really loved and it wasn't expensive, but it was perfect. And, you know, we couldn't use that. We had to go to a a crappy stroller with rolled up towels and
They're all losses.
Makeshift sort of stuff. Yeah, everyone gives you the good tips on how to prop them up in the car seats.
Yeah, they do. And like a Kmart, remember somebody said to us, like a Kmart really cheap high chair, you take like the middle bar out.
Yep, right.
Which Grant did. And it's it's like a spiker table. Ah. And I was like, oh my God, we can actually do this ourselves. We don't have to go to a special company and pay a fortune. Yeah, and so
or take a long amount of time. You can just go to Kmart. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And I was so thankful and I shared that. And I still get messages from people saying that thanks so much for giving that tip. And
Life is full of awesome what ifs and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you shared about the loss of not being able to wear dresses and stuff, that's when I was like, oh, I've got to get these guys on because that's the stuff that I relate to as well. Mm. Yeah, my girls had to wear AFOs, so ankle foot orthotics, so they're sort of fiberglass that go along their foot and up their calf to keep their calves straight. So any orthotists, that's where people. And so both mine had one on the right leg, one on their left leg. So the twins, I'd walk the shops and people would be staring at us. Mm. Everywhere. I had to get four different pairs of shoes because we had four different sizes. So there's all this difficulty that I was, and I think I wrote on your page, it's really only people that understand adding hardware to your children understand.
It's so true. Like I had to go and get, you know, a whole heap of pants the other day because when she was pulling herself around, she was wearing holes, you know, in pants. And, and I was thinking, this is the stuff that nobody talks about.
No.
You know, like I've got her in boys' clothes most of the time because that's all that was available to me in those sizes.
Well, and you can only put pants underneath the
And
but there is a silver lining. We've got wooden floors around here, and because she could only crawl around, I may have to put a couple of nice microfiber pants underneath her spiker cast. So as she crawled around the room, she was cleaning the floor.
Brilliant.
And easier for her. They're slidey, those microphones.
You're right. It was minimizing the friction, so she slid around easier. And there was a minor benefit of having the floors cleaned at the same time.
Yeah. Tell us about the big sisters and how it was, what it was like for them.
I think because we live rural and regionally, we had a lot of trips to Sydney. And so that meant that the older girls, you know, got left kind of behind and I had to head off, you know, I did lots and lots of trips down. And I know that probably impacted them a lot, but they were extremely patient and helpful and, Sailor, who's 11, has been like a little mum.
Yeah.
And, Scout, our middle child, I found her in the cot one night. Now, I had to have Sunday propped up on pillows and extra mattresses and you have to have it underneath their legs, you know, so that the weight doesn't put too much pressure on. And I saw Scout had heard her crying in the night and was in the cot with her asleep, just like patting her.
Precious.
And I was like, oh, that is just so beautiful.
Yeah. I think a strange byproduct, and it's not expected of them as siblings, but if you grow up with a sibling with a disability or something that's not typical in your life, you just the kids just become more empathetic and they realize that you love everybody for who they are, not for how they look or how they walk or how they talk.
Yeah.
And it's just this amazing thing that they take through life. Like my kids, the siblings are just such awesome people. And I'm like, it's not their job to have to do that.
No.
But it's pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely very tolerant of her, and they're always looking out for her, you know, to make sure that, you know, like Sailor said the other day, Mom, she's taken her brace off and, you know, and then she fell over and do you think that she'll be okay?
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful. But it definitely has probably brought us closer as a family because of, you know, the challenges there.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it kind of strips you back to what really is important.
Mm.
Not that you didn't know that before, but it's a different knowing, as we were talking about this morning. It's a knowing.
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember, my career has been living in pretend land, you know.
Yes,
like,
Grant.
Just in Wankerville.
With all the beautiful people.
Yeah. TV ratings and game shows and, you know, stuff that really doesn't matter. It's the frivolous kind of silly stuff that when everything's going well, you can sort of tune out and take your mind off your troubles and watch, right? But nothing significant, not life-changing for anybody.
Mm.
It's not doing any great community service. But then you can get caught up in that, you know, like, you know, in any career you can think it's the most important thing in the world and then – something like this comes along and then you realize it's actually not the most important thing in the world and these little guys are. And so you start to view your career very differently and
really
become rather than take it for granted and think, oh, well, the reason why I'm successful is because I'm the best in the world.
I knew it in year 11.
Mr. Vernon! You go, it's really not that important and it's just – helping one another is really the only thing that matters in this world.
Yeah.
You know, that is it.
Yep. I think everything now is like, well, can I be kind about that? Like I just realized that people have got shit going on that I had no idea about and now I'm like, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
You don't know what someone's going through. That's the one thing.
Same.
Whether it be someone's bloody having a go at you for where you parked or how you parked or if you've stood in front of them accidentally when you're waiting for the traffic lights to change.
Yep.
Someone's having that blow up or got the shits or looking at you, giving you the dirties. You don't know what that person's going through. And more often than not, they're probably going through something.
Yes, that's right.
Probably significant.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm going to argue that some of your work has been important because the Family Feud game is a big hit in my house.
Same.
And I was talking about it with my daughter last night because she has an intellectual disability. So playing games within a family context is kind of really difficult. There's speed, there's all sorts of things. But the Family Feud game, she loved it.
Yeah.
And she just wanted to tell you she really loves nuggets and chips. I said, would you like to tell Grant anything? So
who doesn't love nuggets?
Exactly. It's you know,
it's the food of our people.
I think we could be best friends just
I think you could. She'll listen to this. Game
and nuggets and chips.
I know. Hello.
We got that. We had the app on our phone with the buzzer.
Yes. So great.
That's hilarious.
That box is destroyed. The lid. We played it and played it and played it. So I personally want to thank you for that.
Yeah.
My pleasure. You don't need to thank me. Thank who? I don't even know the company who made it.
No, it doesn't matter.
Imagination, I think they're called.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in year 9, I got my first job, which was working in Kmart. And my job was to look after like the toys section.
Yep.
So then after every shift, what you had to do is after dealing with customers, good and bad, is you had to represent all the shelves, right? You had to move all the product back to the front of the shelf. So as items were now missing, you bring the next, you know, items forward. So the front of the shelves look nice and neat. So one of my, you know, the biggest jobs that used to take forever was fixing up all the board games.
Yeah.
What normally happens is some little terror comes through and just bowls them all flat. Well, they're all on the floor. They're all in the wrong order. It's just a nightmare aisle, right?
Yes.
It's
strange
to be a nightmare idol. But I would be, a little OCD in me would be a little bit, I'd spend so much time just getting the front of this shelf with all these board games looking mint again.
Wow.
And then, you know, 30
now you're on a board game.
Years later, 25 years later, whatever it is, you know, I had my own board game. And I was like, oh, my God, is this the most beautiful circle of life story I've ever heard?
Yes, it is. And when I you go so in there, proud. Do you put it at the front?
I turn every other board game back to you. Mine's the only one you can tell.
So what is next in her hip journey? Like how long will she have to wear the brace for? What's the next move?
We have a checkup the end of April, and I mean, I only spoke to him yesterday, and I said, you know, she's taking it off, and he was like, well, it's, you know, that was bound to happen.
Right. Yeah.
So who knows what, you know, the next few steps will be. However, when we had our last checkup in December, I came home really deflated because the first check that we had showed enormous improvement and it was super exciting and I've got goosebumps now and he was like, you keep on this trajectory, you won't need to have an operation. I was like, that's the goal.
Yes.
Then December we had a checkup and it hadn't changed basically.
The progress had tapered off and it hadn't really improved.
And he said to me, look, that is quite common in her, you know, in her age group. Because when they're younger, things are growing a lot faster.
Of course. And they can't take their little cast off.
Yeah.
No. So now I guess we'll go and we will assess and probably she'll continue to wear it at night and we'll probably have to look at doing an operation, and there is a name for it and it is quite common. But it is, as I said, where so her the ball joint is sitting inside the hip joint, which is great, but it hasn't worn it enough to be permanently fixed in there.
Where a little concave section into hip bone to help make kind of get it to lock in.
Yeah.
So the operation, they take a little wedge out of the hip bone so that it fits in, you know, a little bit more permanently. That's what we really wanted to try and avoid. But, you know, we've
If we get bad news and it hasn't made progress, we basically go back to square one.
Yeah, which is heartbreaking.
Back in full cast.
Oh, it is.
And it will be a lot more difficult because of her age.
Yeah, and she's been mobile now and she's...
Yeah, imagine that. She's now she can run around and then taking
take
that
it
away.
Off her.
My daughter's had a couple of orthopedic surgeries and it's rough. There's, you know, she had an osteotomy, which is where they turn the leg in the hip joint and straighten her leg, which was has dramatically changed her life. She was six when she had that. She's had a bone graft in her foot. So I really understand that, and I'd love to support you if that time comes. You can always lean on me as a orthopaedic surgery mum.
That's so lovely. Good. That's
it doesn't make it easier, but it helps to know other people have gone before you.
But a good outcome,
She's a Special Olympics athlete. She won the 50 metres at Launceston National Games last year. She loves running.
Yeah.
So, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
I saw someone on the news just last night that had CP that just finished a half marathon.
Yeah, I saw that.
Incredible people.
Yeah.
I used to do a fair bit of work with the CP organisation, CP Australia.
Yes.
Oh, I was going back a little while now, but
Those are people that know pain and discomfort. And children that have just endure so much.
And I haven't had surgery like that with my twins, but I've had disappointing doctors. Or, you know, when you come home and you're like, I have nothing left. And so all I can say is that I did drink wine on those days. That's all I've got for you.
Oh, yeah. You know, I
think we could hang out.
Drunk a lot of wine. A lot of wine and a lot of chocolate. Yeah. Really late at night where you feel so
I've got it, guys. Help. We need to get together face to face.
Yes.
Nuggets, chips, wine, and a family feud bill.
Yes.
We've got a party.
Put a Singstar on in the background.
Yeah, we'll bring all the old AFOs. We can burn them. Put them in the cast. Grant, can I ask a serious question about like being a dad in this space? How have you been able to get support, or how are you someone that reaches out to other men or?
No. It's not, you know, it's something I'm learning to do as an adult because it's not something I think in that I guess every career has it, and maybe television has a little bit more of it where you're You're pretending you know what you – so to get into television, you pretend to know what you're doing. Right.
Yeah.
So we all do that to a degree. And then you remember how people say – you know when they used to talk about you in a career sense, they would had the example in the saying, dress for the job that you want, not the one that you've got.
Yes.
So I used to behave for the job that I wanted, not the one I have. So you were always, you know, pretending. You know, I was always, you know, coming up through the ranks when I was a nobody. You know, I'd see Larry Emder. So I go, oh, I like the way he does that. You know, or I'd see Rope McManus. And I go, oh, I like the way he does that. I'd see Daryl Summers. Oh, I like the way he does that.
Mm.
So I was only ever basically pretending to be the sum of other people, right? And never really comfortable in my own skin. So asking for help was I never wanted to show that I had, A, no idea what I was doing, or B, maybe not feeling great.
Yes.
So this kind of image that you needed to be perfect. People on television, you know, were always seemingly flawless and fabulous and just they had their shit together.
No baggage. Perfect families, perfect houses.
Yeah. And I think getting, you know, obviously that's not true. None of that is true. But when you're coming up, you think that is true. I must be the only one who's flawed. You know, I've got imposter syndrome. I don't particularly talk to myself very well. I've got horrific self-talk.
Yeah.
And it's all that I've only probably learned to work on, you know, in the last sort of 5 years. So it's, I'm better at sort of processing things now, I think. Shezzy might disagree. Yeah, you feel it's very much because you see the mum carrying the mother load.
That's
why it's called the mother load. You can be there for support. You try your best, but also the child doesn't, you know, naturally gravitates more to the mum when they're not well.
Sometimes
you just feel useless because they don't want you.
And they just want to be there
to support, but you feel helpless, just absolutely helpless. And that's a very immobilizing feeling.
Definitely would be.
We've got a gorgeous Gary who has started two Beans episodes. So he is a dad. His son Christopher has a disability, and so if you ever want to go and have a listen to some of those, Grant, we've got dads talking about this.
That's
journey.
A podcast called Two Beans.
Well, yeah, it's just it comes under ours.
Yeah.
Great. So you're all in sort of in the same group, right?
Yeah. So
that's great.
He started it because we realised that dads have a unique story as well in this space.
Yeah. Well, you know what we were kicking around the other day, and I didn't think it was a real thing until someone brought it up, and I can't remember what kind of profession they were in, whether they were a psychologist or what it was. But and this sounds again really silly to say, considering everything that a mum goes through. But postnatal anxiety and depression for men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's real.
Of course, it's real.
And not spoken about. No. And not explored enough.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, it's real.
Yeah, I thought I was going mad.
Did you?
And to be honest, we've only really just started talking about this only in the last, you know,
couple of years.
Of course. Not a
couple of months.
Yeah. Well, when you're in the stress of a child, as in the stress of what's happening, you just have to get on with it. And then sometimes when there's a bit of a lull, then you can maybe go, oh, I can talk about what actually just we went through.
And even with a typical baby, you know, typical pregnancy, typical birth, it's a bloody huge shock. Like nobody is ready. You can't read enough or study enough, and you don't know day to day how that baby's going to impact you and your family and your relationship. And, yeah, it's an incredible gift, and I love motherhood, but it's a loss as well. You lose a bit of yourself, and I think fathers are the same. You lose, you know.
Never heard anybody say that, but, yeah. Yeah.
And you don't want a different life.
No.
But it's still, you're like, oh, who am I?
I guess there is an element
of loss of identity.
Yeah, a grieving almost, a grieving of what you have left behind and or what you have sacrificed, or you're saying goodbye to the person you were as you're morphing into the new version.
Yeah.
But that isn't done without some form of, you know, a little bit of anguish, I guess, as you.
And we didn't know. When I had Sailor, I didn't know about hyperemesis, which I had with all three pregnancies.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
So people would just say, God, just have some ginger and get on with it.
No.
And I was literally vomiting up, you know, my entire body weight for months and months and months, and I was bedridden. And I used to wear all these comments like, oh, she must have a very low pain tolerance.
She has the highest pain tolerance of anyone I've ever met.
And like people would just say stuff to you. And I remember watching Mamma Mia on the TV and feeling so sick. I'd vomit all over myself. Yeah. Grant was on the road.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't think I can actually go through with this. I'm so sick. How are other people not sick?
Mm.
So that was like one part of my pregnancy that, you know, 10, 11 years ago, nobody spoke about.
No.
And even I look back now and I think, wow, that, you know, I survived that
as well.
Months on end. Beautiful girlfriend, Mara, who actually listens to the podcast because she ended up having twins. And beautiful Mara. She had hyperemesis and I remember her saying, I want to die now. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, I cannot go another day. And she would go into hospital and they'd rehydrate her and then she'd have to come to kinder and drop her child off. Like insane. She was so sick, but she still had to function.
Yeah, so it's a terrible thing and I'm so happy that people are talking about it now.
How did you pluck up the courage to do it again?
Yeah.
It took me 4 years. Yeah. So something happens in me where our kids kind of turn a corner around three and a half and I don't know if I'm just stupid or something. I go, what? It actually wasn't that bad. I know I was sick, but I wasn't that bad.
You can't wait for the next 12 months to
But the issue is that with every consecutive pregnancy that I had, I was getting way worse. So with Sunday, I'd prepared myself and I was like, no, you know what? I can do this. It's going to be tough, but Grant's, you know, at home a lot more. He can help with the older kids. I reckon I can do it. And I think it was like week 12 or something and I was like crying to him saying, I can't do it.
I was like, just remember this bit.
And also the medication is so much better now too because I had no medication when I was pregnant with Sailor. Mm. I didn't even go to hospital to have a drip. No. I lost stacks of weight and my obstetrician was like, that's fine, just keep sipping on water.
That's fine.
But with the younger two, all the advances, you know, certainly helped. So when I, you know, was pregnant with Sunday, I changed my diet a bit and then I was on a full concoction. Which, you know, that in itself has lots of different layers, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like
a speeding fine here or there
from too much. How many did you get in the space of about 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah, I got a lot.
We are the same people. Because I hadn't registered my car and I was going down the freeway for a year and we'd moved house and we hadn't changed over. And so then I had warrants and then and then the police pulled me over one day because I sped past them because I just opened the letter from the Royal Children saying your twins are having surgery on this day. And I just sped past a policeman. He pulled me over. He said, you didn't even see me. I was like, I can't even tell you why. And then he said, and by the way, I'm going to have to take your number plates off you. And I was like, what? But that's the chaos you're in sometimes. Yeah. So I totally understand.
And Mandy maybe I'll go to jail and get some sleep.
Instead of paying the fine? So I was like, 2 days in jail or pay the fine. I don't mean to mock jail, but that's how harassed I was. I thought maybe I could rest.
Hang on, the food's going to come to me three times a day. The lights go out at about 8:30. That sounds pretty awesome.
Oh, that's so funny.
People don't talk about that chaos you're in,
But yeah, I was sick. I had like I was heavily pregnant. Grant had gone off into the jungle, you know, as part of his contract with Channel 10. I wasn't allowed to say anything to anyone.
Of course.
I was on a concoction of – so not even our family knew. Like my mum knew. Nobody could know.
It was pre-recorded, wasn't live.
It was pre-recorded.
Oh, because of COVID. was it?
So I had to pretend that I was Grant, you know, online for a bit as well. I was having rest of it, like the recommended dose for this rest of it, which, you know, it was like one tablet three times a day.
How do you swallow a tablet down though when you're vomiting?
Well, you can't. Mm. Like they say, to crush it and then like to have it. What are you laughing at? But like I had to have a quarter. I was like,
I know where your mind is gone.
Yeah, that's what I was laughing at. It was a terrible, inappropriate time to have a joke.
Talking about something really serious. I was like a driving zombie.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was just like through red lights and like really dangerous.
So dangerous.
Yeah. And then all these fines came in.
Yeah.
Frank came out.
I came out of the jungle and I'm like, why have I got no points?
What have I been doing?
Yeah. But, thank God that car was registered to you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it was.
I saw one of you know those overhead camera, the cameras that take pictures to see if you're using your phone while driving?
Yes.
Right, so I was supposedly, she's tapping him in the leg because this might be illegal. Is that what you're
saying? We can edit it out.
Just tell us.
No, she tried to pass. She ended up taking the points, but she tried to pass it on me. Like I came out, she goes, "Look what you did!"
Yeah,
I did actually. And I looked at the photo, and I'm like, "Unless I've just grown some breasts, I don't believe that is me."
Because I could not believe. I actually didn't even think I was in Sydney on that day, which sounds really crazy, but I.
The fact you tried to fob it off to me.
I was like, it has to have been you driving back from the jungle. It was you.
Of course it was.
Skirt.
Yeah, no, it was me.
When you were in the jungle, were you worrying about what was happening at home? It's a long time and you made it right to the end.
Yeah, we're so close and you have zero contact with the outside. Mm. Not only that, you're being tortured on the inside.
Yes.
It's it was very emotional because I felt like I wasn't doing my husbandry duty and being supportive. I felt like I was being a terrible father for the other girls because I was in there and mum obviously, you know, was struggling.
Mm.
It was really complex emotions. You know, I get very teary in there.
Yeah. I remember.
Mm. Yeah. And it was So it was
hard because the week before I left, I before he left. I fell over and I fell on a chair on my big pregnant belly and I had to go into hospital and I tried to I was either going to fall on Scout, our middle daughter, just caught my leg on something or I tried to save her because I weighed, you know, over 100 kilos at
broken
that point.
Several bones.
Yeah, I would have crushed her. So I kind of saved her in the moment but landed on a chair and it, you know, left a massive
little
bruise.
Little chair?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Sharp edge.
Yes.
And so they had me in hospital just monitoring, you know, the baby and they thought maybe like I, you know, had a bit of a bleed.
And it was
2 days later I had to put Grant onto a plane.
Oh, that must have been awful.
Yeah, and
it just felt like I remember just blowing up at home going, this is not right, we can't be doing this, you know, this is just, I'm disregarding your safety, this is dangerous, you know, there's no one here to look out for you or the kids or if something goes wrong.
I can't tell anyone.
Oh, Grant.
Shezzy was trying to be, you know, brave, supportive, sort of reinforcing it's going to be fine and she kicked me onto that plane super reluctantly and, you know, it was all okay in the end, but geez, it felt so irresponsible.
Yeah.
It felt like one of those moments, you know, I was talking about before, why this is stupid. This is just dumb television.
Yeah.
We're talking about your safety and the safety of an unborn child here and I'm going off to bloody eat bloody emu anus in the jungle. This is dumb. And I was being really angry.
But it's also the way you earn money, right? That's your job.
It felt like this is where we'd crossed over from the career not being a healthy thing, but actually this is where we're prioritizing the wrong things the wrong way around.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's all tricky.
It's very tricky.
Anyway.
Well, we loved you on there.
Oh, yeah, did we ever?
We loved it.
Yeah,
he was so good.
Was so good.
I knew that he would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And I knew that it would be a huge challenge for him because I think, as he's, you know, mentioned a lot, he's suffered from, you know, low self-esteem and imposter syndrome, and he's never really felt like he is enough as he. And I just confidently knew that he couldn't put on, you know, you can't be fake in there.
No.
The real you comes out.
Yeah.
And I thought this will be hopefully, you know, transformational for him.
And turns out, you know, emu-anus is quite delicious.
Disgusting.
I don't think so. food.
Yeah, you can't be anything
can't
else.
Pretend.
No.
You're just exhausted. You're literally, you are starving. You know, there's other tactics that they use to kind of, you know, get you at your wit's end. And
You're vulnerable, really vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you can see it. Yeah.
And I also knew that we would survive, you know.
Yes.
Because women are really tough. Like really men tough. Are pretty good. some men. Grant's really great. But women are really tough. Yeah. And I think we just do what we have to. So
you're so exceptionally positive as well. Like even blindingly so, even in the face when you shouldn't be positive.
Yeah, right.
Very positive. So,
Yep.
You need one of them. I think it's the yin and the yang in the relationship.
Yeah. He's like, Mandy, these people are helping us. I was like, I hate physios. He's like, these people are helping us. I was like, no, they're not. They're just putting me under pressure all the time.
You need one.
Yeah, definitely.
But though, I think there's something to be said for, like, back in the day, I think about this a lot, about the caveman days, about how a large cluster, you know, would look after a newborn and the mother in that period. Whereas now, you know, look at us now. We're all locked down in our homes.
Oh, yeah.
The grind is so hard work-wise to fit it in. You know, our parents are working later and longer in life than ever, you know, so they're not available. And by the time they are available and free, maybe they have retired. Cognitively they're, you know, it's a bit harder for them to, and you can't rely on them as much. Yep. You just feel like now we're just more isolated and on our own.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like a husband, we have to have two income households just to survive these days. So, you know, it's very difficult for one person to just be home constantly and let alone two. It feels like we're just further away from that whole philosophy of a group raising a family.
Yes, Grant.
I know.
As it feels like it kind of was intended.
Yeah.
I think it definitely was. Well, I think we're supposed to live in little towns, but we're in big cities.
Yeah. Which is why a podcast like yours is just so life-changing for so many people, because you have created a community for people, and that's so powerful and just so beautiful. And when you reached out and said, you know, would we like to, you know, come on, and I replied straight back, I was like, oh, yes, I have heard of you. Oh, yeah, we'd love to.
That's magic.
Because you're so authentic and you share the ups and the downs, and I just think that's what we need more of.
Well, as we are talking about that, further away from everyone and not having a massive cluster of people around us to look after us, and now as we raise a child, you are the only things that we now have, right? You are those links, those little threads to information that just keep us going, that keep us alive, give us that little bit of extra intel that maybe can make a difference in some aspect of our life.
Because you can listen to it whenever you want.
That's what we love about podcasts, because we talk about diverse mothering. Mm. That's what we're doing. Mm. And so who was even talking about that? No one. And there's so many of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, if we do a better job by being supported, then isn't that better for our children? Yes. So absolutely. We just felt that need ourselves. We put it out into the universe. The universe said yes.
Mm.
So we're very grateful. And we're super grateful to you guys talking today. Have we missed anything that you want to tell your HIP community or the rest of the peas?
Oh, you know what? To the HIP community, there are so many great groups on Facebook. That's, you know, if you have found out that your child has hip dysplasia or clicky hips or
do you know what is the instance anything. Of it? How common is it? Do we know?
Well, I think that I'm surprised. They said to me a percentage and
it's really
changed. Yeah, it's changed. And I don't know why that is, but they have this really outdated
breach. But breech
yes,
births.
I think there is.
Yes. But also female and firstborn is generally the pattern.
Yes.
Yeah. So everybody seemed really shocked that Sunday was our third and did anybody else have hip problems? Well, Sailor did, but wasn't, you know, diagnosed as anything except for hypermobility.
Well, I've got it as well. So it's in our DNA.
Right.
So, right. Know, obviously, I've used it to effect to win Dancing with the Stars twice.
Yes.
There is a silver lining.
Someone give that man some surgery and stop that.
It's not fair.
Kidding.
Put him in a spark so the rest of us have a chance.
Don't laugh. Oh, my God. Imagine if they had to put you in a spiker cup.
Oh, no. Like, he's already been in one.
Yeah, you're going into a care.
That's right. Yeah. You know.
Great. Although, you know, getting those sponge baths from you wasn't such a bad thing.
I don't know if you think you can remember it.
No, I cannot.
Oh, how gorgeous. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I know. Thank you for having us on.
Our community is going to love hearing this episode. So thanks for giving your time to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, no worries. And we have spoken a little bit about the HIP journey and also the ADHD journey.
Yes.
Parenting on our podcast. Yes. It's all true. Yeah.
We will put that in our show notes and all the P's. Go and follow and listen to your guys' podcast.
Mm.
And I definitely think that we should get you guys on.
Yeah. We'd love to. Thank you.
Yeah.
Not as professional as yours. We don't have a backdrop. And
listen, Mr. Print, baby. And look, Mr. I lined Print. All of those up online.
She's very impressed with yourself.
You've got laser eyes.
Oh, yeah. Well, once.
Wow. Originally, we just had the green one, and then we were like, it's tiny. So now we have three.
Yeah, I love that.
And your colours are almost close to our colours.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. So I think it would be great to have you guys come on and talk about, you know, your experience. Mm. And we have sound effects.
We do not. So, yes.
Yeah. We would like
look,
to
we can
that.
Clap ourselves off, I think.
Look.
Are you ready? Oh, thanks, Grant and Shizzy. That was a really great chat. I don't know if you can hear that, but
just
I can hear it the same.
Bit.
I can't hear it. Oh, well, we are super grateful.
Yeah, we are. Thank you. And thank you. For all the parents who feel left out and othered, it's really nice to know that there are lots of people going through the same journey and you can still laugh.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah. Thank God. That's an essential part of life.
Yeah, it really is.
That is completely okay. Thanks for having us on. Keep up the great work. You're doing incredible.
Thank you.
You too. And let us know how she goes. We will be thinking of you
and
at
we'll
the end of April.
And we'll be following you on all your socials and cheering you on.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
We don't know when this will go out yet, but I'll email you when it is. And then, it'll be a Thursday sometime.
Yeah.
Please tell us. And then we'll pop it up on our socials and try and steer as many people we can there as well.
Thank you. It was great to meet you.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you too. Okay. I feel like we've known each other for years.
Yes.
And that was really fun.
Thank you, Grant.
Thank you for your time.
Lots of good. Good laughs.
All right, see you.
Bye.
Oh, that was fun.
Oh, that was awesome.
So fun. We got to see a Logie, albeit through a Zoom screen.
Oh, but still, goodness me.
It's the closest we'll ever come to one. We're just so excited to get them on and to hear a story that we didn't understand.
No, you know, definitely
like we
do
say,
not.
We're all someone's rectum. And we are. I definitely am when it comes to that. And, it was lovely.
Yeah. And I think a shout out to any of you that are in the HIP community because I feel like, you know, in my darkest times, I probably would have looked at you and thought, well, that can get fixed.
Yes, I know.
You know, but that's not fair.
No, it's not.
So everybody's welcome in the P tribe.
Yes, that's right.
Whenever you're othered.
Yes, you are more than welcome.
Definitely.
Yep. And this week we are not doing a cry laugh difference because I can't even tell you how unbelievably organised Mandy and I are. And we're banking a few episodes so we can have time off in the school holidays.
That's right.
So we do struggle to keep coming up with cry laugh differences.
That's right. So this week we had it all in this episode, actually.
Yeah, we did. This was lots of, teary moments and laughing. And so,
We're super grateful to them for joining
us. Super grateful.
So
they're busy
people.
Go and
follow their podcast.
Yep.
And all the details will be in the show notes.
Yep.
Yeah. And follow their journey on Instagram. They're sharing their gorgeous girls.
Yeah,
oh, they're funny.
Yeah. And you'll learn something.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, see you, everyone.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.